Here's what I know, that God loves to provide. In fact, one of his names in the Old Testament is God the Provider, Jehovah Jireh.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Chobe. Welcome to Straight Talk. I'm excited about a new series that we have coming up here entitled God Provides. In this three-part series, I'm going to be teaching you three laws that are vital for you to understand if you're going to align your finances with God's purposes. I'm going to be teaching you the law of source, the law of seeds, and the law of center. The law of source, in essence, helps us understand that the source of all of our income and all of our resources is ultimately God. The law of seeds helps you to understand that the way you allocate your resources, the seeds that you sow now will affect your tomorrow. You are already now beginning to affect tomorrow and your future, even financially. And the law of center helps you understand how to position yourself in a place where God can continue to bless you because you're in the center of where God wants you to be. So you do not want to miss these three powerful laws found from Scripture that will help you understand finances from God's perspective. Let's get ready to learn. These three laws that are spiritual laws apply to the area of finance, but are not limited to the area of finances because they apply to every area of our life as well, and they're transferable to those areas. The law of source has to do with understanding that God is the source and the owner of every good thing that comes into our life. The law of seeds has to do with the principle of understanding that whatever seeds that we're sowing now are the seeds that we are preparing our future to harvest. And the law of center has to do with where we position ourselves before God to receive what God has for us. Here's what I know, that God loves to provide. In fact, one of his names in the Old Testament is God the Provider, Jehovah Jireh. Now, if you ever had a nickname, it's because you're kind of proud of it. You know, they say, oh, that's Sam the, that's Jose the, because you're known by that. Well, God says, my name is Jehovah Jireh, God the Provider. I'm known by that. I like to do that. It's part of what I do. It's part of my nature. It's part of what I am, part of my plan is to provide. And so God is the provider. God loves to provide. Oftentimes, if we do not see the provision of God in our life, it's not because God is not providing or not desires to provide. It's oftentimes because we've neglected one of these three laws. And so today we're going to talk about these laws, and we want you to understand how these laws fit together. Many of you, when you were young, maybe not so young, one of your dreams in growing up was, you didn't know exactly what you wanted to do, but you were going to be rich and wealthy. And I listen to kids talk back and forth once in a while, and they'll say, well, my house is going to be like that. Well, your house is going to be a garage compared to my house. And, you know, I'm going to have a jet, three jets, one pink, yellow, and blue for whatever day I want. You know, they go on about that. But if I were to do a survey today, and I were to survey this congregation, and I were to have you check what category you consider yourself to be in economically, I would venture to say that the great majority of us would not check the box that says rich or wealthy. It would say, nah, middle class, lower middle class, struggling, barely surviving. Well, but you may, probably very few to almost no one here would actually check the box that says wealthy or rich. Yet, I beg to disagree with that. You see, I believe that the great majority of us here
are actually in the category of rich and wealthy. In fact, let me explain that to you. My young children, once in a while, when Josiah was young, and Grant, my 10-year-old, I remember a few years ago, he said, "Dad, are we rich or poor?" And I say to him, "Son, we're rich. And we're rich in a lot of ways. We're rich because we have family. We're rich because we have clothes on our back. We're rich because we have a roof over our head. We're rich because, mainly because we love Jesus." And he says, no, "I know that, Dad, but are we rich? Like, money-wise, are we rich?" And the truth of it is that those of us in the broad perspective, if you read in the Bible, many of us read the scriptures where Jesus talks to the rich and it says, "And to the rich I say," and most of you think of people that you know, "Oh, my boss, he needs to read this. Hey, this would be a good passage for Oprah. Yeah, Donald Trump, man, he needs it. Bill Gates, wow, this is for him." But just slow down a minute. Because there are 6 billion people in the world. The gospel and the word of God is for everybody, right? Amen. Now, here's the thing about being rich. The thing about being rich is that rich is hard to define. Because rich is not a quantity. Rich is a moving target. When you were 7 years old, if you got a $200 gift from a great aunt on your birthday, you would take that and say, "I'm rich, I'm rich." Because for you, $200 made you rich when you were 6 years old. But Gallup poll basically tells us that they surveyed a whole bunch of people that were making $30,000 a year. And they ask a whole bunch of people making $30,000 a year, how much would you have to make so that you felt like you were rich or wealthy or on your way to riches? And most of the people making $30,000 said that they would feel rich if they were making $75,000 a year or more. In other words, if they were making double of what they're making now, they thought, "Man, I would be doing well. My bills paid. I would feel comfortable. I would feel like, hey, I am rich if I were making $75,000 a year." Now, they surveyed people that were making $50,000 a year, and they asked those making $50,000, "Hey, what would make you feel like you are rich and wealthy and really doing well in your life?" And most people making $50,000 a year said they feel like they would be rich if they were making, guess what, $100,000 a year. Because if you think about it, I remember when I was making $12,000 a year. And I remember when I was making $12,000 a year thinking, "Man, if I made 24, wow. Man, I would be there. Like, that would be it." But you know, I made $24,000, and when I made $24,000, it didn't feel like, "Yeah, it's it, I've made it." In my mind, I'm like, "Yeah, it's okay, but you know, if I were..." You see, rich is a moving target. It doesn't stand still. It moves with our quantity. It moves with our prosperity. It shifts about. It is not a single line. But in compared to the rest of the world, let me just tell you this, if in case you're wondering about this. Do you realize that if you make $37,000 a year, that you would be considered in the top 4% of the world, the top wealthiest 4% of the world, if you make $37,000 a year? And if you happen to make $45,000 a year, that makes you, it puts you in the top 1% of the wealthiest people in the world, comparatively speaking, because there's 6 billion people in the world. And do you realize that half of the working force in the world, half of the 6 billion people in the world, the people that are of the age that are able to work, do you realize that their average salary, that one in every two people in the world, they work 8 hours a day at labor, mixing mud, farming, and their paycheck at the end of 8 hours a day is $2.
one in every two people in the world, their paycheck every day after 8 hours of work is $2, $2. Now, we do not look at $2 like we're like $2. And those of you listening over CD, let me just say, I threw $2 up in the air. There was no mad rush to get those $2. No one was scrambling on the floor fighting. There's no fight going on here. No one scrambling. $2. Why? Well, in part because we're rich. Comparatively speaking, we're rich. Hey, I've been to Africa, and I've been to China, and I've been to South America, and I can tell you, you're rich. When you read in the Bible and it talks about rich, if you were to say the four top percent of the world, the one top percent of the world, we fall in that category. By and large, if you live in America and have a job in this country, we are wealthy. And I want to tell you that because I believe that oftentimes most of us in most situations do not consider ourselves rich, but rich is a relative term, and I want you to reevaluate really what rich means. And next time you see the word rich in Scripture, don't just skip over it and think of the super, super wealthy in the world around you. Think, I am one of those people considered rich. Now, having said that, I want to teach you one of the principles that we as rich people need to understand. It's a huge principle. It's a powerful principle. It's the first of the three principles I want to teach you in this series entitled God Provides. Now, it's called the law of source. This law, unless you get it down, I don't think any of the other principles about finances and giving and money and possessions taught in Scripture will make sense. This principle, if you get it down, if you understand it, if you grasp it, if you internalize it, if you're able to live it out, this principle will be the principle that all the other principles build on. If you don't get this law down, most of the other laws will not make very much sense to you. And this is what the law of source says.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Law of Source, which is from our series called God Provides. Before we return to our message, stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message called The Law of Source.
The law of source is this: the ultimate source and owner of all that I possess is God. When I act like an owner, I will eventually plug the source and dishonor the real owner. Now, let me state the first part of the law of source again. The ultimate source and owner of all that I possess is God. Now, do you realize that the way that you are able to make wealth and make money has ultimately to do with God? The most powerful principle in understanding finances is not how much you make or what your paycheck is, but how you think about money and how you think about what you possess. See, what I understand is that 90% of you believe that if you had more money, your problems would be solved financially. 90% of us here say, well, Pastor, you know, you wouldn't have to talk to me about money if I had a 50% increase. If I were making double what I'm making right now, listen, my problems would be solved. It wouldn't be an issue to me. I would have it down. But I'm here to
disagree with that. You see, I don't believe that that's true. I believe that if your salary were to be doubled at the beginning of this year, I believe that if within 2 years you would have the same problems and the same issues that you have now with your finances, because it doesn't have to do with quantity. It has to do with the formula that you use to spend and manage your money. Oh, we've all seen it in people that won the lottery, haven't we? Suddenly a guy that's working at, you know, a lady that's working as a waitress at some restaurant, she wins the lottery. Now she has $10 million. She thinks her life is totally different. She'll never have problems. And then we read a couple years later that within 4 years, she's bankrupt, having to give up her house, all these problems. And we say, how could that happen? Listen, because the main issue with what you have is not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. And the solution to all of our money issues starts not with what we don't have, but it always starts with what we already have and what we do with what we have. You see, if you were making $14,000, $15,000 a year and you were in debt, you think to yourself, if I make 30, I wouldn't be in debt. I'd be able to tithe. I'd be able to put some aside. But right now I have nothing to save. I can't really make. But the truth is, however you divide the pie up now, you will divide it that very same way, but just with larger quantities in the future. So the question is, how can I change the way I manage what I currently have to prepare for the future that God has for me? Hello. The law of source. Where does the power to make money come from? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 through 18 gives us some real powerful insight into this. These people had been slaves, oppressed, poor. And now they had entered into a time of greater prosperity. They were building houses. They were expanding their property. They were doing better now financially. Yet a wrong mindset had set in with their prosperity, and God is challenging their mindset. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, you may say to yourself, this is self-talk. God is challenging their self-talk. How many of you talk to yourself here? Come on, be honest. Don't we all talk to ourselves once in a while? I mean, you may not like out loud say, hey, self, how you doing today? Some of you may, I don't know. But most of us don't talk that blatantly, but you talk to yourself. Man, I'm feeling lousy today. Man, I need to do real good at this. Well, watch how you're driving. We talk to ourselves. That's okay. It's self-talk. So these people were talking to themselves, and God interrupts their self-talk because in their self-talk, what they were saying in their own mind to themselves, they were saying, hey, it's my power and the strength of my hands that have produced this wealth for me. Some of them were talking to themselves and they said, whoa, I've done pretty well. Man, because I've worked hard, not like that lazy bum in the cubicle next to me, but because I've hustled, I get there on time, I work hard, I do whatever it takes. I got that mentality. I got the talent. I got the drive. I got the aggressiveness. Man, I've worked hard. I've looked for opportunities. I've made the right moves. I haven't fluffed up. I've talked to the right people. And look, hey, I have done well. Look, I've prospered. My paycheck is going up. My bank account is getting a little fatter. Look what I have done. This is me. And God interrupts his self-talk and says, hold on, pause a little bit. Hey, can I interrupt your self-praising talk? And he says to them, but remember the Lord your God. Hey, did you forget that God had a part in this? Did you forget the aspect of the divine? Did you forget that somehow, somewhere, that God's hand has been involved in this entire process? And he says, for it is he, God, who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Oh, hold on. What? It is God that gives you the ability to produce wealth. In other words, that strength, that talent, that ability to bring good resources into your household and to generate an extra greater paycheck, it is God who gives you the ability to make wealth. He can take it and he can give it. He can minimize it and he can increase it. He can let it flow in great power, or he can diminish it and make it go in little power. You see, let me just say this, you know, never be cocky with God about what you've made or about the resources or how you've done. Because in reality, if you're a singer, God can take your voice in a minute. Hello. If you lift at work, it's just one little and your back is out. Seriously. It's God that gives you the ability. He is the one that empowers and opens the door and gives the ability. And so he says, make sure you never forget, listen, that I am the source. It all starts somewhere, and we need to understand the law of source says this: God is the source. He is the ultimate source. Now, he may use your boss, and he may use a new job, and he may use an investment plan, and he may use a lot of different methods to bring about wealth into your life or increase your wealth, but ultimately, he is the source of it all. And we need to acknowledge that and understand that it changes the way we go about thinking about money and resources when we acknowledge who is the source. It tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, moreover, when God gives any man wealth, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, how many of you know there's a difference between making it and enjoying it? To accept his lot and to be happy in his work. Listen, to the person that is making money and you're able to enjoy it, and you accept that this is where I've been placed, and you're happy at what you're doing. Listen, this is a gift of God. This is a gift that God has given you. It comes from God on high. A gift can be given, a gift can be taken away, a gift can be dispensed. It's a gift of God. It's something that God grants to whom and when he desires to grant this gift. It's a gift that God gives. He is ultimately the source. The ultimate source of every good and perfect thing. James tells us every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He is the source of all the resources, of all the good that come into our life. Not only is he the source, but he is also the owner. Proverbs 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalms 89 verse 11 says, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, the world and all that it contains. In other words, not only is he the ultimate source of all the resources that come our way, but listen, he is also the ultimate owner of everything that we have in our lives, of every good gift. He's the owner of all things. Now, hear me well. If he is the source and he is the owner, then hold on a second. What does that make us? There's a word in the Bible found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some of you are familiar with that word. It makes us what? Stewards. Hello. Some of you have been reading your Bible. A steward. A steward is someone that manages someone else's wealth and possessions. Now, we don't use the word steward as much these days because it's a bit of an archaic terminology. Nowadays, we use the word manager. Manager. Now, a manager makes decisions over something that they are holding for someone else. They make decisions, but they always make decisions with the owner's will and values and desires in mind. If you invest with someone, that investor takes your money and they manage it to make a profit, but
The investor always looks to the person that owns the money to say, well, what do they want? What is their desire?
You have been listening to the first half of The Law of Source from our God Provides series. This has been Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.